But Ira in this life. Vai indeed. Dom Vikaha. Very proud of wealth and a prestigious position.
Very proud of wealth and a prestigious position.
Namba Yagyeshu.
Namba Yagyeshu.
In a sacrifice performed to increase prestige.
In a sacrifice performed to increase prestige.
Pachun.
Animals.
Vishasanti.
Vishasanti.
Kill.
Kill.
Tan.
Then.
Amushmin loke. In the next world. Vaishase. Vaishasa or Vishasana. Narake.
Into the hell.
Patitan.
Fallen.
Aniraya
Patayaha.
Assistance of Yamaraj.
Yata
Yitva.
Causing sufficient pain.
Vishasanti.
Kill.
For translation, a person who in this life is proud of his eminent position and who heedlessly sacrifices animals simply for material prestige, is put into the hell called Vishasana after death. There the assistants of Yamaraj kill him after giving him unlimited pain. So purport by His Divine Grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda Ki Jai. In Bhagavad Gita, in the 6th chapter, text 41, Krishna says, Suchinam Srimanam Gehi Yoga Prashto Vijayate. Because of his previous connection with Vakti Yoga, a man is born into a prestigious family of brahmanas or aristocrats. Having taken such a birth, one should utilize it to perfect Vakti Yoga. However, due to bad association, one often forgets that his prestigious position has been given to him by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he misuses it by performing various kinds of so-called yajnas like Kali Puja or Durga Puja, in which poor animals are sacrificed. How such a person is punished is described herein. The word Namba Yajnesha in this verse is significant. If one violates the Vedic instructions while performing yajna and simply makes a show of sacrifice for the purpose of killing animals, he is punishable after death. In Calcutta, there are many slaughterhouses where animal flesh is sold that has supposedly been offered in sacrifice before the goddess Kali. The Shastras enjoin that one can sacrifice a small goat before the goddess Kali once a month. Nowhere is it said that one can maintain a slaughterhouse in the name of temple worship and daily kill animals unnecessarily. Those who do so receive the punishments described herein. Okay, so Om Ganati Manandasha Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshuru Meditam Yamakasmai Shigarve Namaha. So there is actually a misunderstanding that many people we have that the goddess Kali eats meat, and therefore they're offering meat to the goddess Kali. Actually, the goddess Kali does not eat meat. She is a complete vegetarian. The goddess Kali is Durga. The goddess Kali is Sati. The goddess Kali is Vaishnavi. These are different names of Durga or Vaishnavi, the consort of Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva would certainly not tolerate someone as his wife who eats meat, because he is Vaishnavanam. Yatha Shambhu, he's the greatest of Vaishnavas. Therefore, she's vegetarian. However, her associates, they're not vegetarian. That's interesting. And that was brought forth, that point was brought out in the story of the great personality, Jada Bharata. The story of Jada Bharata is as follows. Jada Bharata, of course, was the third incarnation of Vardhanaraj. First incarnation, of course, was Vardhanaraj. Second one was the deer. Third one was Jatavarga. He acted like a stone, acted dumb, so no one would engage him in going to the university and working in a high-tech field in the Research Triangle Park. So no one would be demanding money from him. And so no one would get him married. So even Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he renounced his university degree so that he wouldn't be forced to get married and get into the whole entangling thing in life. Okay. So Jatavarta, his strategy was act dumb and think of Krishna. That was his motto. And nobody will bother you. Nobody will bother you. And that's a fact. And if people think that you're hopeless materially, they won't have any demands from you, they won't nag you. I mean, life is a lot easier. Anyway, so Jatavarta was like that. And he was so much like that that his brothers, nice brothers, they put him out to be a scarecrow to scare all the crows away, and so the crows wouldn't eat the seeds. And then eventually he was given to these dacoits who did worship the goddess Kali. This is something like Indiana Jones in the Temple of Doom. It's exactly like that. I mean, so many times people watch that movie and they think that the Krishna consciousness movement is exactly like that.
Yeah.
I was actually writing to someone last night. I read to Vivekananda Maharaj last night that we should make everybody watch Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom before they join Krishna West. So, but anyway, those dacoits who worship the goddess Kali, it's exactly like that was depicted in the movie, because they're offering people to the goddess of color, the goddess Kali. So they decided they wanted to offer a dumb guy, and Jatavarta happened to be that dumb, who they thought was a dumb guy, actually. He was the most intelligent person, which was brought out later on in his discussion with Maharaj Rahugana, when he became palanquin carrier for Maharaj Rahugana. So anyway, so they decided, let's offer him to the goddess Kali. So they gave him the ritualistic Avivrita bath. That's what you're supposed to do before you offer an animal and sacrifice. You actually bathe them and clean them and get them ready to offer them. Even that person, Vrikasura, who was ready to offer his head to Lord Shiva, actually bathed himself and everything like that. It's not that they did things in an unclean way. So they got ready to offer him, and when they put him before the goddess Kali, because the goddess Kali is a Vaishnava, or Vaishnava, she decided that this is too much for her to tolerate, and she popped out of the deity. And when she popped out of the deity, her associates also popped out at the same time. They beamed down, as they say. And what they did is they just cut off the heads of all the dacoits and literally used the dacoits' necks as like cups. And they were just drinking the blood. Because if any of you have seen, you know, what happens when you cut off a head of an animal or a human being. Of course, hopefully you haven't seen someone cut off the head of a human being. But in Fiji, they regularly cut off the heads of goats. I mean, it's so cruel. The devotees were describing this to me, that they take the chickens, first of all, and wring their necks like this. And if you actually watch any of these films that are on this website, you know, PETA, People for Ethical Treatment of Animals, PETA, you'll see some of these things. I mean, it's quite disgusting and quite horrible. So anyway, so the blood was just like spurting out of the heads, the necks, and not of the heads. And the associates of the goddess Kali were actually tipping the bodies over and drinking the blood, and in this way having their so-called enjoyment. But the goddess Kali, Prabhupada comments, did not drink the blood, did not eat flesh in any sort of way. So this is a great misunderstanding. So what is this sacrifice where they're able to offer the goat to the goddess Kali once a month, which Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport? This sacrifice is a concession for those who want to eat meat. Because it's understood, even in the Vedic society, that you'll have a class of people wanting to eat meat, and you'll have a class of people who want to drink liquor. I mean, liquor is not something that was invented by Seagrams. Liquor is actually something that's been going on since time immemorial. In fact, even in the spiritual world, they have liquor. Of course, that is pure. It's described by the acharyas that when Krishna would dance with the gopis sometimes, they would drink honey wine. So it's bona fide. For Krishna, not for us. And they would get so intoxicated that they had these glasses. They sometimes were confused which side was the open side of the glasses. And they would have the glass upside down, so to speak, and then they would pour the wine into the upside down glass. And of course, that's just the a part where the glass stands, and it would just go all over the place. That actually happened, not with wine, but happened with water in Srila Prabhupada's room one time. The devotee saw this wine glass that they were using to give Prabhupada water. And sometimes with the wine glasses, you really can't tell up from down. And so they poured the water all over the stand of the wine glass and went all over Prabhupada's desk, and probably something got on Srila Prabhupada. In any case, in the spiritual world, yes, Krishna sometimes gets drunk. Balaram gets drunk on Varuni beverage. And whatever is here in this world is also there in the spiritual world, but there it's very wonderful. You know, you have interactions between Krishna and the gopis, and here you have interactions between people with gross material bodies. It's absolutely disgusting. Sorry for that one. So, in any case, getting back to the point, so there, Vedic literatures have concessions for people who want to drink, people who want to have sex, people who want to eat meat. And these concessions are, as Srila Prabhupada compared them, they're like the government licensing liquor houses. Or, of course, nowadays you don't call them liquor houses. You call them liquor stores or something like that. There's a whole division of the government in each and every state that licenses the liquor stores. Of course, the government's intention nowadays is not simply to limit the consumption, but the government's intention is to make money out of liquor, selling liquor, because they tax it at a very high rate. And it's also interesting that even though liquor is taxed at a very high rate and it's very expensive, even before the taxes. How do I know that? Because I go through airports. And nowadays, before you hit customs in any airport, there is literally, and even when you're going onto the airplane, there's literally like a mega liquor store there. We're not just talking about, you know, one little store selling liquor. You have to walk through the liquor store to get to your gate. Even in India, has anyone been in the Delhi airport recently? The new Delhi airport? The one that they just built? No, no one's been to the new one. It's a liquor store. I mean, you would think India, you know, they'd have deities there, with some handicrafts, and, you know, some nice pictures of Krishna, and Bharatanatyam dancers dancing. No. You walk through a liquor store. And it's, of course, it's tax-free, and the prices are still amazingly high. Just like if you get this thing called Shiva's Regal. Anyone's heard of that before?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like $50 or $60 for a little bottle. You know, I was thinking, why is someone so stupid? Why don't they just, like, make it alcohol in their own homes. And, you know, people do, you know, you can't control it. Just like in one of our temples, there's a devotee who makes herbal medicine. And in order to make herbal medicine, he has to distill alcohol. Prabhupada also distilled alcohol for his herbal concoctions when Prabhupada was a pharmacist. So anyway, so he distilled alcohol, so one day he didn't lock his shop up properly. So the our Gurukulis, our youth, they decided, let's have a party. So they went into this poor guy's shop, you know. Anyway, his name is Dribuja, the guy who manufactures this. And Little Blue Boy herbs and everything like that. I'm sure you've seen it on the internet or ordered things from him. Very high quality. He actually grows his own herbs and everything. So they went in and they had a party. And they thought no one was going to find out, but what happened is they got in a car accident. Because that's 200 proof alcohol, which means pure alcohol. Luckily, they didn't kill themselves. So you can't really... It's actually impossible to stop it completely in society. It's impossible to stop... You know, obviously, sex life you can't stop. Even in the monasteries, you know, and the nunneries, they would discover tunnels between the monasteries and the nunneries where the nuns would kill the babies that they had. You didn't know that? You know, they had illicit sex, and there were popes who were known to have a whole bunch of girlfriends. So you can't really stop this. I mean, an individual basis, yes, if someone is extremely self-controlled, especially in Kali Yuga, yes, that can happen. But it requires a lot of self-control. Even a Jamil, who was in a very high-class Brahminical family, was unable to control himself. He just looked and saw two people embracing, like in a Bollywood film. Can you imagine? You know, people think, oh, Bollywood films, innocent. No. I mean, you just look at these things, it pollutes the conscience. Because Prabhupada said here, by bad association, one often forgets that this prestigious position has been given to him by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, let's talk about prestigious positions. So, of course, a Brahmin birth is a prestigious position because one takes it due to past devotional service. But also even being born in India is a prestigious position. One has a special responsibility. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, that anyone who's born in the land of Bharatavarsha has as his duty to work for the benefit of others. So by bad association, then one can actually fall down even from the highest position. So one has to be very, very careful. We were talking about this recently in respect to prasadam, like eating food cooked by devotees versus eating food cooked in just an ordinary restaurant. And I've seen as devotees go on in their devotional service, they become very lax in certain practices and principles. I mean, I would say like 80-90%, maybe even more of the devotees, they go to restaurants. Now, of course, they order vegetarian foods. I'm not saying that they order meat. You know, they go into the sandwich shops and order a vegetarian sandwich, or go into Pizza Hut and order a vegetarian pizza. That's of course they use the same utensils that they use for the meat, and God knows how they wash or don't wash the utensils. In any case, I mean, people become lax after some time, and because of that bad association, by eating food. Like Prabhupada said, even Grandfather Bhishma, Dronacharya, Kripacharya, by eating food cooked in Duryodhana's kitchen, their mind became wicked. They became possessed, actually, by demons. That story is there in the Mahabharata. They're actually subtle living entities. I mean, there's a lot happening in this world that we're not aware of. Like yesterday we were talking about cellular memories. There's a lot happening that we're not aware of. So there's subtle living entities, not to scare everybody, who really can influence one's consciousness, especially if one's in the mode of ignorance. They actually enter into one's consciousness somehow, whether they influence one. Of course, if one's drinking, it's very easy for them, because by drinking, taking intoxication, you open up the chakras, and that opens the door. It opens the door for them to come in. They say, oh, look, he has an open chakra. Let him go. And they just go, whoop. And then you become a little demoniac, and then you go on the internet and start criticizing devotees after that. I mean, that's in the mode of ignorance, criticizing devotees. So bad association is very important to control or to eliminate. So the government, understanding that people are going to be just rascals, especially in Kali Yuga, Kalo Shudra Sambhava. Shudra means those who are in the mode of ignorance, that everybody in Kali Yuga, right, basically is a Shudra. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, you look at the politicians who are supposed to be Kshatriyas, you look at the priests who are supposed to be Brahmins, or, you know, even the Hare Krishna priests sometimes, you look at the businessmen who are supposed to be Vaishyas. I mean, Vaishya, one of the qualities of Vaishya is he's charitable, helping other people, not simply he's thinking how to cheat you all the time. That's not a Vaishya, that's a Shudra. So, especially in Kali Yuga, the government has to regulate these things. All right, you want to have intoxication? Okay, we warned you, it's not good for you, destroy so many brain tissues, there has to be education also. All right, so here you can buy it. You want to buy your marijuana here in the store? The marijuana store. And you want to buy your liquor. You want to, I mean, even in Las Vegas, they have legalized prostitution. I don't know if you knew that. Anyway, but it's controlled. People are going to do it anyway. If the government doesn't control it, then what happens is, let's say, take prostitution, for example, then the women are turned into slaves. It's like, yes, just like slavery. They're kept captive. And so, you know, it's going to happen in society, so the government has to license it or regulate it. And with animal killing, the government regulates it. So, you know, you want to eat meat, then you have to do the specific procedure. Or, as Prabhupada said, you can wait till the cow dies a natural death. That's another thing you can do. Prabhupada said, so let them eat. Let them eat the meat, so wait till the cow dies a natural death. That's fine. And then it's not hurting any living entity. There's different ways. Or, if you really want to eat meat, eat a lesser creature than a cow. But in any case, the cows are always going to be protected by the government, in a Krishna conscious government. I mean, maybe if someone wants to eat a dog or something like that, that's a different thing. Of course, in America, the dogs are protected and the cows are exploited. So this regulation is absolutely necessary in society to keep people at least a little bit sane. And not only regulation of these illicit activities is done, but it's the regulation is done in specific locations. It's not that illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating would be everywhere. It would be only in certain places where the shudras were. And not only that, society would be structured in such a way that the shudras would live in one place, the vaishyas would live in another place, the kshatriyas in another place, and the brahmanas in another place. They would actually live with people of the same psychology and mentality. Like if you go to some places in India, like Sri Rangam, you'll see that it's very nicely arranged. They have the brahmanas in the central portion of the city, which is right around the deities. Of course, right in the center is the deities. That's also nice, too. Instead of in the center having a cinema house, like you say, you know, where does everybody go to worship? In America, it's either at Walmart or at the mall. It was like, One day I happened to go to this new mall. What's the name of that new mall in Durham now?
South Point.
And I was just thinking, you know, it was some holiday. It was actually, I think it was January 1st or something. Or some big holiday when I thought nobody would be there. But every single parking space was taken there. So that's like the center of people's consciousness, the malls. And people just go there. Even when they exercise, you see older people, they go to the malls to exercise. You ever see that?
Yeah.
They put on their sneakers. They don't want to get fresh air and sunshine, which would probably be the best thing for them. So that's the center. So in the Vedic society, you'd have that sort of thing very much regulated. In other words, the illicit sex, intoxication, meeting, and gambling, and everything. There'd also be gambling in the Vedic society. It'd just be in certain places where the Brahmanas wouldn't get their minds polluted having to see that all the time. That would be protection for the Brahmanas. You understand? So Sri Rangam, it's like that. The deities are at the center. Then after that, the Brahmins, they're sort of like a square, square area around where the Brahmins live. Then after that, the Kshatriyas to protect everything. Then after that, the Vaishyas. You can buy anything you want. It's not Alice's restaurant. And then after that, the Shudras. And things are very regulated in that way. Anyway, so these are some of the points we can make about this verse. Just another point is that Prabhupada refers to 641 in the Bhagavad Gita. And this, of course, is in relationship to Arjuna's question, what happens to one who doesn't become completely Krishna conscious in this life? Of course, that question is very much applicable for all of us because, you know, there's some doubt whether we'll become completely Krishna conscious in this life. Because, as Krishna says in the Gita, Bohunam janmanam ante janavanmam prabhajate vasudeva sarvaniti samahatma sadrulava. After many, many births and deaths, one comes to the understanding of Krishna consciousness. So we should be ready to execute Krishna consciousness for many births and deaths. And there's no problem, because it gets nicer every birth. Yeah, that's the point. It's not, you know, people think, you know, I just want to go back to God after this life. That's a good intention. But actually, if you execute devotional service, you know, in this life you'll be a brahmachari, next life you'll be a sannyasi. In this life you'll be grihastha, next life you'll be a brahmachari, next life you'll be a sannyasi, next life you'll be a lady. That's more advanced. Anyways, we have to say that because some Krishna West representatives here. So, and then next life you become a guru, and then next life you become a shudra. So, you have to suffer all the sinful reactions of your disciples. So, of course, I'm speaking a little facetiously, jokingly right now. So you should, but serving Krishna is nice. Mama janmani janmani shrey bhavatad bhakti. It's nice to serve Prabhupada's mission. I mean, I wouldn't mind taking another birth to serve Prabhupada's mission, to be fully engaged in serving Prabhupada's mission. So anyway, so Arjuna raises this question. What happens if someone doesn't make it? Is he like a riven cloud? In other words, a cloud that just gets like blown apart by the winds. Forget it. You know, he's finished. He tried his best. It's just like, you know, you entered the Olympics and you didn't get either the gold or the silver or the bronze medal. What do? You're a loser. Or you enter a marathon, you know, the Boston Marathon, and you don't even finish. What do? You know, there's no respect for such a person. So anyway, so Arjuna asked this question. And Krishna says that one who has done good is never overcome by evil. And then he describes what happens with someone who just doesn't quite make it in Krishna consciousness. He says, if someone is very advanced, you know, almost there, almost reached the finish line, then he takes birth in a family of transcendentalists. That's actually a higher family than a family of Brahmins. And then he gets a chance to complete his Krishna consciousness. But if one is a little advanced, this is what Krishna is referring to here in this verse, then he takes birth first before taking birth in a family of Brahmins or rich people. He takes birth in the heavenly planets and gets to really, I guess, enjoy the heavenly planets, to see all the dancing girls or dancing boys, if you happen to be a girl in the heavenly planets. And then after that, he takes birth in a prestigious family, as Prabhupada says here, Brahmins or aristocrats. So that's someone who's a little advanced in Krishna consciousness. And then even so, one has to become very careful, as Prabhupada comments in bad association. So anyway, so this is the final point. So any questions or comments about any of the points you've made? Yes.
It seems that in the early days, Prabhupada was always encouraging devotees just to finish up in this lifetime because there's so many dangers along the road.
Yeah, it's better to have that intention of finishing up in this lifetime. Obviously, it's kind of discouraging, like if you say, you're not going to make it in this lifetime. So Prabhupada wanted to encourage people, but on a practical basis. Obviously, one can become Krishna conscious in a moment. But we are seeing, practically, most of the people who join the Krishna conscious movement, they join, they slip a little bit, and then they pick themselves up, and they slip a little bit more, and they make some progress in this life. I have to be practical in my observations, and revealing what I've observed with people. So we can become completely Krishna conscious in this life. That is a fact. But I would say in most cases, we should be ready to serve life after life. And that's not such a bad thing. Obviously, Prabhupada was dealing with young people, and if he told them, it's going to take 10,000 lifetimes, well, not that many, if it's going to take 20 lifetimes before you become Krishna conscious, devotees would say, better I become a hippie, I better remain a hippie. But, we have to be ready for the long haul. And there's no problem. What's the problem? You just serve, right? It doesn't discourage me having to take another birth to serve Prabhupada. I'd love it. I look forward to it. You get a new body, a brand new, 2014 body, or whatever year you're born in. And you get nice Vaishnav parents who are going to somehow or other take care of you and train you in Krishna consciousness. And then you get, and then you get to see the deities. That would be nice. I look at my childhood, I didn't get to see the deities. I didn't get to do anything until I was 20 years old or something, 19 or 20 years old. And, I had to eat meat when I was young. Of course, I didn't drink or take intoxication like that, but still, it wasn't pleasant, because I didn't know what the goal of life was. I was searching. So there's no problem. But you can become, yes, the answer to your question is yes, you can become Krishna conscious in life, this lifetime. You probably will. But as far as me, like Prabhupada said, he wrote a poem, and I forget the exact words. He said, I have no hope for direct service for the following crores of births, Prabhupada used. Crore is 10 million. Yeah, for those of you who don't know Hindi, a crore is 10 million. For crores of births. Prabhupada wrote that. Because if one's engaged in devotional service, it is back to Godhead. I'm happy with my life. Of course, I shouldn't be that happy. I should still want to advance a little more. But, I'm happy being engaged in Krishna's service, and I want to purify me. I want to chant better, and I'm happy every day with the challenge of learning how to chant better, or trying to chant better, or trying to control my senses more, or trying to serve the Vaishnavas more, and increasing my service. That's, to me, it's a challenge. You know, if Krishna were to come to me and say, you know, I just bless you, pure Krishna consciousness today, what's the challenge in that? Isn't it? It's good to, you know, Prabhupada said we should have the Kshatriya mentality, challenges. Prabhupada said Krishna could make the whole world Krishna conscious in an instant, but what would you do? What service would you do then? You just sit down and watch the Krishna series on you know, get the DVD series. Mm-hmm. The Krishna series and just watch it every day. Well, everyone's already Krishna conscious. You don't have to distribute books. Everybody has Prabhupada's books. Everybody's chanting. Krishna conscious government. Nothing for me to do. So, I think it's nice to have a challenge. I'm not saying it's nice not to be Krishna conscious, but it's nice to have a challenge. You know, every day you can try to increase your Krishna consciousness. So any other questions? It's not a problem. Anyway, you'll go back to Godhead. Then you can, what do they say? If you go to heaven before I do, just drill a hole and pull me through. Did you ever hear that song before? Mm-hmm. Just put in a good word with corn and tie for me. So any other questions or comments?
Just a point of curiosity. I've been rereading Krishna versus charity of millions of cows.
Yeah.
And I'm familiar with the lecture you cited, Prabhupada said, you just wait until the cow dies, then it's all right.
Yeah.
But in the Vedic times, and the reports that we have, none of the gross details are being provided. How is it the Vedic disposal of these bodies? You know, so many are being born. So
well, they're malechas. They're malechas who would eat the meat. And there's drums that would be made from the skin. I mean, the skin, you would make shoes. I mean, all the parts, Prabhupada said all the parts of the cow are very useful even after the cow dies.
So there's a class of people dealing.
There's a muchi, they're called muchis, Prabhupada said. Muchi means dirty. But anyway, there's a class of people like cobblers and people, you know, cobblers. They didn't have plastic injury that, industry then to make shoes. So there were people who actually did it. I mean, it was a bona fide occupation. But they waited till the cow died before they did it. So, you know, every part of the cow was utilized even after death of the cow. It's interesting, isn't it? So they didn't have to worry about disposal of all the bodies of the cows because they were utilized. The cow was so nice. Even the stool is fertilizer. Everything about the cow was just simply wonderful. Not about the goat. So, forgive me, those of you who are like goats. Anyway, so.